Q106.7 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. Highs level off around 64 today under sunny skies. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 34. Highs level off around 65. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Wednesday, with daytime highs approaching 43. 57 Thursday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm staff meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, 50.
This Kansas Information Network update is brought to you by Eaton Roofing and Exteriors.
I'm Britton Rucker, and here are today's top headlines from 12 News. President Trump says he's weighing possible military strikes and other actions against Iran. It comes after more than 500 protesters have been killed in anti-government protests. A driver is dead after a wrong-way crash on K-96 last night in West Wichita. The Kansas Highway Patrol says he drove for at least 7 miles before crashing into two other cars and being T-boned. And a new legislative session begins today at the Kansas State House. Lawmakers return to Topeka this morning. Well, they'll start considering new bills and policies over the next 4 months. And meanwhile, Governor Kelly delivers her State of the State address tomorrow night. In Wichita, Britton Rucker, 12 News.
You're listening to the Kansas Information Network.
Celebrate this 2026 holiday season by launching your family and friends out of this world at Blastoff Bay Indoor Water Park, connected to the Hampton Inn in Goddard, Kansas, where it's always 84 degrees and the thrills never end. Our biggest Black Friday sales are landing soon, perfect for gifts or to make a splash all winter long. Grab epic discounts on spring break passes, winter break tickets, and more. Visit blastoffbay.com before they're gone.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
I'm Joanna with your KQNK News, brought to you by the Norton County Hospital, providing the best care right here at home. Results from the boys' J.R. Durham tournament this weekend. The boys' varsity team came in first place with 133 points. The boys returned from Christmas break and wrestled well overall. They're seeing improvement in the young kids, and the group of seniors are doing a great job stepping into the leadership role. They had three champions with Caleb Kieswetter, Derek Clydesdale, and Jayden Weigel. Two runners-up with Max Carter and Alex Everly. Lastly, on the varsity side, we had Aston Katz and Weston Green finished third. On the JV side, we had a lot of success as well, crowning five champions: Bryson Burge, Michael Urban, Braylon Linden, Nate Amelong, and Ethan Bailey. Grady Briner and Daniel Hildebrand finished second. Gage Briner finished third, and Asher Erickson finished fourth. The varsity boys will head to Newton this week for the Tournament of Champions, and the JV will head to Hayes for the Junior Prairie Classic. For the girls' J.R. Durham Invitational results, Norton came in second with 142 points. The girls competed well right after Christmas break and ended up finishing second behind a tough Lexington team. Coach Brockelman was very happy with the way they competed, as they still have a lot of things to fix, but are showing a lot of improvement, which is great to see them turning that corner. They crowned three champions: Kaysen Miller, Hallie Fonensteel, and Cadence Greason. Two runners-up with Sophia Kane and Adriana Winters. Lastly, Dally Braun rounded out the varsity placers with a third-place finish. On the JV side, Charlotte Garrity was our lone champion. Brooke Abel, Maddie Villegas, and Madison Scott finished in second place. Lastly, Bree Everly and Olivia Graham finished up third. The girls will compete next at the Prairie Classic at Hayes on Saturday. Law enforcement are investigating a semi-driver on multiple allegations after a traffic stop on Sunday. On January 11th, Lyon County deputies were dispatched to Interstate 35 for a report of a reckless semi, according to a media release. Deputies located the semi and subsequently conducted a traffic stop based on the driving behavior. During the course of the stop, deputies developed probable cause to believe the driver was under the influence of alcohol. They arrested him and transported him to the Lyon County Detention Center. While there, the driver blew over 3 times the legal limit for regular motor vehicles and 7 times over the legal limit for commercial vehicle drivers. The Sheriff's Office did not release the name of the driver. The Lincoln County Sheriff's Office reminds the public to drive sober or you will get pulled over. Driving buzzed, high, or otherwise intoxicated is not only dangerous for you, but also for other motorists. One person died in an accident just before 7 p.m. Sunday in Sedgwick County. The Kansas Highway Patrol reported a 2000 Honda Accord driven by Tim S. Martin, age 74, out of Mays, was eastbound on Kansas 96 just east of West Street in the westbound lane. The car struck a 2018 Jeep Grand Cherokee driven by Hallie M. Weiss, 25, of Hutchinson, and a 2013 Toyota Camry driven by William Chesborough, age 34, of Alamogordo, New Mexico. A 2021 GMC Yukon driven by Dwayne Doyle, 39, out of Wichita, then T-boned the Honda. Martin was pronounced dead at the scene. Weiss, Chesbrough, and Doyle were not transported for treatment. 2 children in the Yukon had minor injuries. Martin was not wearing a seatbelt, according to the KHP. One person died in an accident just after 3:30 p.m. Saturday in Johnson County. Deputies responded to the area of Edgerton Road and 167th Street following an iPhone crash notification and an additional 911 call reporting a vehicle in a ditch, according to the Johnson County Sheriff's Office. First responders located the vehicle with significant damage and one occupant, a driver later identified as 36-year-old Bailey Boswell of Meridian. Unresponsive inside the vehicle, Johnson County MedAct responded and attempted life-saving measures. Boswell was pronounced deceased. The accident remains under investigation. Anyone with information regarding this crash is asked to contact the Johnson County Sheriff's Office. I'll be back with more news after this.
Join our stellar team at Norton County Hospital. Looking for a workplace where compassion meets career growth? Look no further. If you're ready to embark on a fulfilling journey surrounded by supportive colleagues and opportunities for personal and professional development, we want you to be part of our family. Explore exciting career offerings and our comprehensive range of benefits, including CAPERS, on the Career tab at ntcohosp.com.
According to the unofficial minutes of the Norton City Council, the City Council met in regular session Wednesday, January 7, 2026, with Mayor Jerry Jones presiding. Council members present were Andrew Black, Dale Jacobson, Jason Jones, Gerald Jones, Dale Engelbert, and Jim Miller. Others present were there to observe or present business. Motion was made by Dale Jacobson and seconded by Jim Miller to approve the December 17, 2025 City Council meeting minutes. Vote taken, motion carried 6-0. Economic Development Director Dallas Goslin reported they have been awarded the Safe Streets for All grant that was applied for last spring. They will now be able to conduct safety planning, which involves creating a consultant-based package that is federally specific to improve safety regulations and guidelines, and will therefore hopefully open up some safety money to potentially address things like signage, sidewalks, street expansions, right-of-way expansions, etc. Dallas also stated he's working on an application for the BUILD grant. The following old business items were addressed. Gerald stated he would address civic plans later during his time. He reported there has been no activity on the impound lot since the last meeting. James stated they would like to grant a 2-week extension on the 709 North First property abatement. He stated the council room camera is functioning and ready to go. There is no update on the Retire the Ride list. The light at Travis Field for the handicap parking is still on the electric department list to complete. City Clerk Alex McKenna gave the oath of office to Mayor Dale Jacobson and council members Jason Jones of Ward 1, Jim Miller of Ward 2, and Craig Everly of Ward 3. A motion was made by Craig Everly, seconded by Gerald Jones, to appoint Jim Miller as council president. Vote taken, motion carried 5-0, with Jim Miller abstaining. A motion was made by Jason Jones, seconded by Dale Engelbert, to recess the council meeting and go into a Norton Public Building Commission meeting. A motion was made by Jason Jones, seconded by Gerald Jones, to approve the January 15th PBC minutes. Motion carried 7-0. A motion was made by Jim Miller, seconded by Gerald Jones, to elect Andrew Black as president. Vote taken. Motion carried 6-0, with Andrew Black abstaining. A motion was made by Gerald Jones, seconded by Jim Miller, to elect Dale Engelbert as vice president. Vote taken. Motion carried 6-0, with Dale Engelbert abstaining. A motion was made by Gerald Jones, seconded by Andrew Black, to elect Jason Jones as secretary. Vote taken. Motion carried 6-0 with Jason Jones abstaining. A motion was made by Dale Engelbert, seconded by Jason Jones, to accept the 2025 financial report of the Public Building Commission Fund as presented. Vote taken. Motion carried 6-0. With no further business, a motion was made by Jason Jones, seconded by Jim Miller, to adjourn the PBC meeting. The Norton City Council meeting reconvened. Motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Gerald Jones to approve Mayor Jacobson's 2026 Council Committee appointments as follows. Finance Committee, Dale Engelbert, Jim Miller, and Andrew Black. Utility Committee, Jim Miller, Gerald Jones, Craig Everly. Personnel Committee, Jason Jones, Craig Everly, Gerald Jones. Public Safety Committee, Gerald Jones, Andrew Black, Jason Jones. Parks and Cemetery Committee, Craig Everly, Jason Jones, Dale Engelbert. Public Works Committee, Andrew Black, Dale Engelbert, and Jim Miller. Appointed to the Airport Board, Andrew Black, Jim Miller. KMEA Council Representative, Mayor Jacobson and James Moreau. County Commission Council Representative, Mayor Jacobson. Bed Tax Committee Council Representative, Andrew Black. Library Board, Jim Miller. Solid Waste Committee Representatives, Mayor Jacobson and James Moreau. Economic Development Committee, Mayor Jacobson and Andrew Black. And 2020 Emergency Planning Commission, James Moreau. A motion was made by Jason Jones and seconded by Gerald Jones to accept the mayor's appointment of the following positions. Alex McKenna, Norton City Clerk. Patty Lawson, Norton City Treasurer. Mitch Lowry, Norton Chief of Police. Abigail Horn, Norton City Attorney and Prosecutor. Vote was taken after each appointment and carried 6-0. A motion was made by Andrew Black, seconded by Jason Jones, to accept the mayor's appointment of Cameron Archer as Norton Fire Chief. Vote taken. Motion carried 6-0. A motion was made by Jason Jones and seconded by Andrew Black to accept the mayor's appointment of Jerry Hawks to Norton Municipal Judge, Sylvia Bangle and Theola Otter, Norton County Norton Housing Authority Board for a 4-year term expiring February 2030. A motion was made by Jason Jones and seconded by Andrew Black to accept the reappointment of the following: Aaron Hale, Economic Development Board, 2-year term expiring February 2028. Bill Basura, Jeff Hager, and Blake Fonensteel, Planning and Zoning Commission, 3-year term expiring February 2029. A vote was taken after each appointment and carried 6-0. A motion was made by Jason Jones and seconded by Jim Miller to designate the following: Norton Telegram, official city newspaper, KQNK, official city radio station, Solutions North Bank, official depository for city operating account. A vote was taken after each designation and carried 6-0. Chief of Police Mitch Lowry, City Administrator James Moreau reported on department activities. James reported on the discussion that was held with the Norton Recreation Commission at their meeting regarding the new lease agreement for Washington Square. Gerald Jones addressed Civic Plus purpose implementation and the way it was promised to the public. Gerald stated, as part of the implementation progress, it was agreed that a weekly test of the system would be conducted on Tuesdays at 9:30 a.m. The testing has occurred, but not consistently. He stated the purpose of the weekly test was to ensure the integrity of the system is maintained and ensure those who sign up have done so successfully. Gerald stated on Monday, January 5th, he received an alert regarding a planned power outage in the Eisenhower Drive area. However, the message he received by email was not the same message that he received by text. Gerald stated he is disappointed with the overall rollout of Civic Plus, and through his eyes, it continues to struggle despite the fact that they have been assured the city administrator and all department heads have been adequately trained on the system. He believes Civic Plus has the potential to play a vital role in the City of Norton's emergency preparedness plan and has a vital role to play in keeping the citizens safe and informed. The council has committed hard-earned taxpayer dollars to implement the system, and it needs to work efficiently, effectively, and reliably. Gerald stated, as a councilman and as chairperson of the Public Safety Committee, he is committed to getting the right information disseminated as timely and correct, and it absolutely should not have to be a topic of discussion at each and every council meeting. Gerald stated on Tuesday, January 6th, he was notified of a fairly significant water leak on West Waverly. The reporting party was somewhat sure the city was aware of the leak and was concerned that it was not being addressed. Gerald asked at what time the city was aware of the leak and why it was addressed the next morning and not that night. James stated he was informed around 5 p.m. that there was a small or low flow leak coming up a crack in the street. James stated an emergency dig safe had been called in, but there was a phone line they would need to pothole. Due to it being a low flow leak and with it getting dark outside, it was decided for the safety of the crew to address the leak the next day. A motion was made by Andrew Black, seconded by Jason Jones, to waive the second formal reading of Ordinance Number 1782. Jason Jones reminded everyone of the camera ad hoc meeting on January 8th. After a motion by Jason Jones and seconded by Andrew Black, Mayor and Council entered into executive session twice. The Council resumed regular meeting session at 6:55. Jim Miller, a motion was made by Dale Engelbert, seconded by Gerald Jones, to waive the second formal reading of Ordinance 1781. Vote taken. Motion carried 6-0. A motion was made by Dale Engelbert and seconded by Andrew Black to adopt Resolution Number 1-2026. Vote was taken. Motion carried 6-0. Motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Dale Jacobson to approve appropriating Ordinance Number 1 as a whole. Vote taken. Motion carried 6-0. A motion was made by Jason Jones, seconded by Andrew Black, for the Mayor, Council, and Chief of Police to enter executive session to discuss personnel. Council resumed regular session. A motion was made by Jason Jones, seconded by Dale Engelbert, that the city clerk and chief of police work together to determine the amount of comp time that the chief of police is owed for hours worked between April 2nd and December 31st, 2025. The city council should credit the chief of police with those comp hours appropriately. Vote taken. Motion carried 6-0. Motion was made by Jim Miller and seconded by Andrew Black to adjourn, and with no further business, vote was taken and motion carried 6-0. I'm Joanna. Your KQNK News was brought to you by the Norton County Hospital. You can call the Norton County Hospital at 785-877-3351 for all your health care needs.
Kansas Agriculture Network News.
Good day, everyone. I'm Greg Akagi. When it comes to exporting our agricultural goods, the cattle industry is perhaps that one segment that is, let's say, suffering the least. Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, says everyone is feeling that pinch, which is worse than others. But the meat industry is hanging on.
Yeah, I think from an export standpoint, yeah, a lot of noise in the marketplace, as you know. We have a lot of headwinds, strong U.S. dollar, especially in Asia, low beef supply in the U.S. But despite all that, demand continues to be resilient or even record-breaking in some of these countries.
And with one big exception, Hallstrom says the markets are there.
So starting with the beef side, you know, we're down 10% year-to-date, but almost all that's because of China. China, since April, basically has not relisted any of our beef plants. 400-plus establishments not approved for China.
And Hallstrom says there is plenty of demand in China, but so far, the negotiations have failed.
It's not demand-related. Demand's good. And the key customers, like a Sam's Club, are needing and wanting our U.S. beef back. So it's obviously a political situation.
And Hallstrom says he's not sure when, but he's fairly confident things will get worked out. In other agriculture news, expanding population and economic growth in Texas are deepening water scarcity concerns that could strain agricultural production. Experts told the Texas Plant Protection Association conference this week, with about 1,500 new residents arriving daily, municipal and agriculture water demands are rising sharply. Agriculture accounts for roughly half of the water's use in the state, and continued growth along the I-35 corridor in Texas adds pressure to already stressed supplies. This is the Kansas Ag Network.
The mud, the slush, the muck. Yuck! You need footwear that protects you from whatever is underfoot. Dry Shod is the boot that fits that bill and has become the number one outdoor boot at Valley Vet Supply. With genuine high-quality natural rubber overlay and better shank support, the 100% waterproof Dry Shod boots are more comfortable hour after hour. You'll appreciate the four-way stretch and breathable air mesh lining. Fewer seams means no water saturation and no heavy boots to lug. You'll like the all-terrain, self-cleaning, acid-resistant sole. And your feet will be warm and dry when the weather gets mucky. Dry Shod the whole family. At ValleyVet.com, you'll find exceptional value and a large selection of meds and more shipped fast and free on most orders over $75. Find your ranching needs at ValleyVet.com or shop their store in Marysville.
ValleyVet.com, ValleyVet Supply.
Kansas Agriculture Network Weather.
I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on the Kansas Agriculture Network. Well, looks like we can expect to see an above average afternoon across the entire state for this afternoon as a warm front pushes through the entire region, and there are some high pressure systems off to the west and south of us. It looks like we'll see highs getting into the 60s for the northwestern, north central portions of the state, southeastern and east central portions, mid to upper 50s for northeastern, southeastern, and it looks like the central portions of the state are a little bit of cooler spots lingering in the 40s for the southwestern parts of the state. Looks like around those areas a little bit closer to average for this time of the year. Along with that, also looking at mostly sunny skies across the region for this afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, overnight lows dropping into the 30s primarily. Our coolest spots once again for southwestern portions of Kansas lingering into the 20s, so just a little bit below freezing. For Tuesday, looks like we can expect to see temperatures in the 60s across most of the state. Once again, some areas in the southwest lingering in the mid to upper 50s. It also looks like mostly sunny skies to start off the day, but as we get to the afternoon hours, looks like a little bit more cloud cover starts to build in for the northern portions of the state. And by Wednesday, a cold front pushes through. We'll have a pretty decent drop in temperatures into the 40s across the state. Our warmest spots in the south central portions of the state lingering into the lower 50s. Our coolest spots in the northeastern parts of Kansas getting into the low 40s, so a 10 degree difference between those two areas. Looks like a little bit of cloud cover for north central portions of the state on Wednesday morning, and then more of that mixture of clouds and sun for the central parts of the state, looking at sunny skies for the west and for the east. As we get to Thursday, a warm front begins to push through. Our coolest spots in the lower 40s for the eastern portions of the state, warming into the 60s in the west. This is the Kansas Ag Network.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.